Well, we're continuing in our series where we were talking about building a life in Christ. And it's building a foundation in Christ that is so strong that it will weather the test of time. It will not just the storms that is existing here on earth, but all throughout eternity. Because God says, I want to establish something in you. I want to build something in you. And it's a thing that lasts for all of eternity. And he says, I want to build you and I want to make you into something. He says, I'm going to make you into the image of my son. Now, the building process we've been talking about just a little bit as we got started, and what we're talking, comparing the building a home to building our lives. It's kind of using a home as a metaphor. And last week we talked about the foundations and really what goes into the preparation for even making a foundation. And Jim and I were going up and getting all these little soccer posts for the mega sports camps that's coming. And he was talking about how they're doing all the building up in Caledonia. And he said it was just kind of strange at times to see that one day you'd have a pile of dirt here, and the next day they moved like the pile of dirt over to here, and it just seems like they were just moving this pile all over the place, and it didn't make any sense. Well, that's what grading is. It's not very pretty. It's not something that you kind of send pictures and say, hey, look, my house is being graded right now. What God is doing for us in those moments, He's grading us, and He's moving around dirt. He's moving around things. He's taking out the low spots and maybe leveling out some of the high spots, because he says, I wanted to do something in you. And it's not always an easy process. And then after you grade, you got to dig a hole and you dig down to a solid foundation where you can actually lay your footings. And your footings, they'll pour the footings and they'll pour the foundation walls. And we said that the foundation walls, they're not very exciting. You don't typically, when you build a house, you don't take a picture of it and send to your friends and go, look at the foundation. This is nice. Now, this looks really good. No, you send them pictures of the carpet. You send them pictures of the kitchen cabinets and the fixtures and all the things that are pretty. The foundation isn't pretty, but if you don't have a good foundation, the whole house will collapse. And if you don't take the time and invest in building a foundation, and we said that building is a foundation is in Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. And I know that's basic, and I know that's something that a lot of you understand, and a lot of you say, yeah, that's what I've made, but it's really taking that serious and saying that He is your cornerstone, and you build your entire life off of Him. And you allow the master builder, which is God, to come in and build you. Now, it's not always a fun process because the foundation part takes a long time. But then today we're going to get to the exciting part. It's the framing. Framing is fun. Framing is the part where all of a sudden somebody comes in to a job site after the walls have set up and they've cured and you can actually start to build on them. And they bring in these trucks and they bring loads of boards. And then all of a sudden, if you're in a cul-de-sac or you're in a development, you've heard this framing process. All of a sudden, you hear the hammers banging and at 7 o'clock in the morning waking you up. And it just goes on all day long where they're pounding stuff together and they're making the framing. Without the framing, you cannot have a house. Without the framing, you won't have a shower. You won't have a bedroom to sleep in. The framing is a very tedious process, but it kind of rises up from the ground if you're watching it. So for us, as when we're talking about a house, there are certain things that make up us. There are certain things that craft us and make us into the house that we're supposed to be. And God says, I want to make you, though, into something. I want to make you into a house that is in the image of my son. And I want to do this. And in order to do this, you have to follow the plan. Because God has a plan for you. He's going to use your high points in life. He's going to use your midpoints and your low points in life. And He's going to use every single one of those points. And He's going to build you and make you into something. But He has a master plan. And if you remember, He said, I know the plans that I have for you. They're to prosper you, not to harm you. They're to give you a hope. They're to give you a future. And if you seek Him, you're going to find Him. And so God says, I got this master plan, and you got to trust me with your life. But in order for Him to become the master builder, you have to do something. You have to surrender your life to Him. And you have to be okay with how He builds. You have to be okay with the process, and it takes a long time. Becoming the man or woman that God has always dreamed that you would be. And it's a slow process. Now, maybe you've been around the building thing before, and you've built a house or you've been in neighborhoods. Does anybody know what this is besides a dirty thing, a piece of wood? A 2x4. What's a 2x4? It's a what? What is it?
1.5 by 3.5.
There you go. We got somebody that knows. Did you know a 2x4 is actually 1.5 inches by 3.5 inches? So every time you go to Home Depot and you buy a 2x4, you're getting ripped off. They make a half and a half off you every single time. And what it's kind of a tough thing to learn, though, because I had to learn it the hard way when I was about 18, 19. I needed a board that measured 2x4. So me and my innocence go to Home Depot and buy a 2x4. Guess what? It was a half of an and a half too short on each side. It didn't work for me because it didn't quite measure up. But it's a 2x4. This is something that they use in the framing of every single house. Now, you may have a 2x6 wall. You may have 2x8 headers or 2x10 headers. You have floor joists. You have trusses. You might have steel studs. You might have other types of material. But they use studs. And a majority of houses that you guys live in, a majority of even bigger buildings, they use 2x4 studs. And it's a very difficult and slow process because they have to start with it and find 2x4s that are fairly straight, and then they begin to build the house, and they're very detailed and very intricate. They stack on top of each other. You put headers in, and you put plates in, and they all fasten together as well by different types of fasteners, so that way the structure and the frame is very solid. But this 2x4 also represents our lives. These 2x4s make up us as well. There are certain elements and certain pieces that make up who we are. So as we're going into this, just kind of keep in mind, we're doing the framing of our lives. And we're just kind of looking at the framing. And you know, 2x4s, if you've ever went to Home Depot and looked for them, it's hard to find straight ones. The first time I took my wife to, we were building a deck, and we went to Home Depot, and we needed we were getting 2x10s for the floor joists, and so we're going through this pile, and my wife is like going, why can't you just use that one? And I kind of eyeball it, and I said, well, it's got a curve, and this one's got an S curve in it, and you know, and I'm like eyeballing it, trying to find the straightest ones that I can find, and she's like going, this is ridiculous, because I mean, we sorted through probably, you know, 3 stacks of lumber before I got enough for my deck, and Angie thought I was just being really picky. But the truth is, if you don't start with something that is straight and true, everything will be off. And this morning, one of the things that makes up you, the 2x4 in your life, are your thoughts. Now, you don't think about that very much, but your thoughts define who you are, what you think about, how you view people, how you view your spouse, how you view your friends, how you view your neighbors, what you think about your job, what you think about your car, what you think about your life. All those things make up you. And you might not realize it, though, that your thoughts are actually part of the house that is the house of you. And God says, I want to make this house into something that's strong, true, and straight. The problem, though, is our thoughts quite often don't align with God's thoughts. Our thoughts are on things that make me happy, on things that I like, things that I desire. And we put those things into our house, and we don't even realize that we're building the house of us, and we put them into our house, and then all of a sudden there's a curve, and all of a sudden the house starts leaning a little bit because of what you're building on isn't true. And God says, you know, your thoughts are a major component of the building process of you. And it's a stud that connects to everything, and it determines which direction your house is going to actually be built. It could be a crooked house, or it could be a straight house. It can be a house that's going to withstand the test of time, or it's going to be a house that's going to crumble as soon as a little bit of storm of life hits it. It might crumble because you didn't take the time to have the right thoughts built up into your life. Now, I know thoughts are something that you think, are they that serious? Yes, they're very serious. Because your thoughts define who you are. Your thoughts also define how you view God looks at you. And we got to make sure that we have true thoughts. So, and then the way that we find those true thoughts are found in God's Word. And another building thing element in us as we're building our house. Another stud that goes in. So you have your thoughts. That's part of the wall. And then the next stud that you would put up is your relationships. Now you might think, oh, my relationships don't really define me. Yes, they do. Almost every one of you, especially younger kids over here and the younger kids back there, every one of you, your parents have said, be careful who you hang around with, right? All of us people who are getting older, we have said that to our children, right? We said that they will define you, they will make up you, they will influence you more than you will influence them. That's truth. It's something that we know. And your relationships, either they're toxic relationships and they're going to build you up or tear you down, or they're going to be relationships that build you up. You know, for some of you people who like to go out to breakfast with certain type of people, you like to go and spend a lot of time and you call these people all the time. Well, those people, you know, you might like them, but you also know that you shouldn't be around them because all they do is gossip. All they do is talk about other people and tear other people down and tear the character of other people down. They're just negative. They're critical. What happens when you're around negative and critical people? You become negative and critical, don't you? And that's a 2x4 that you're building in your life. And you know, when you spend a lot of time with people, you become like those people. You know, dating. I mean, you spend a lot of time dating people to try to find out if you're going to spend the rest of your life together. You spend time to figure out if this person is the right person or not the right person, don't you? I mean, I've yet to meet somebody that said, we just walked into Myers, our cart slammed into each other, and then we went to the Justice of Peace, we got married, went to the local church and said, I do, and then everything was history. No, you spend time with the person, you get to know them because relationships change you. And I'm just telling you, if you're not married, those of you that are married will understand this, nothing changes you like getting married, does it? Other than a relationship with Jesus Christ. He'll do more change than a marriage will, but a marriage will change the very person you are. So relationships, they matter. And they build up who you are and they make up who you are. And if there's people in your life that you know that shouldn't be there, then you have to be willing to say, you know what? God, will you do some remodeling? Will you rip that 2x4 that's crooked? Will you rip it out? And then will you put people in my life that can actually help grow me towards you? And you know what God will do? He'll answer that prayer. He'll answer that because he says this is part of the building process of you becoming who you are. Now, another 2x4 that you build with, and you might not think about it that much, is your time. You know, a lot of people don't really think too much about how much time that they spend with people and how it can corrupt you when you're spending so much time with somebody. But there's a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. It's a truth. You hang around with the wrong crowd, spend too much time with them, what's going to happen is they're going to corrupt you. It's going to take away your character. Quite often you hear a young lady seeing this guy that's really, she knows she shouldn't be dating because it doesn't have the same values and doesn't believe in Christ and living a lifestyle where they got drugs and alcohol and they think that they can come in and save them or the guy does the same thing. There's a damsel in distress and he thinks that he could do something for her and then they try to do that and they try and what happens, those relationships end up becoming very toxic because you're trying to change that person, but that person actually influences you. Another verse is out of Proverbs chapter 13, verses 20. It says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Simply, that just simply means that when you're walking with wise people, you're building a wise house. You know, you're going to be a wise person and you're going to grow. But you connect your life with foolish people, you're going to cause harm to yourself. And I can guarantee you, if there's any of us adults that would be honest, we connected ourselves probably somewhere along our journey of life to somebody that we shouldn't, and a lot of harm came to us. And so God says, I want to build you. I want to build you and I'm going to use these different 2x4s, and the yes, they're your thoughts, and yes, they're your relationships, and yes, it's your time. You know, in our culture, for some reason about time, we think time is our own. We think that I can do whatever I want with my time, when I want, how I want. My time is endless. My time is going to be filled with all the pleasures and things and activities that I want to do. That's the wrong thinking about time. God has gifted us with time. Every single day is a gift of God. And how you spend that time matters. And that time is that 2x4 that you're building. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of time to do things for themselves, but they have no time to do things for God. Have you ever fell in the Netflix abyss before? Yeah, I got Vinny's. Yeah, yep, I got that. I think all of us have done something like that. If you don't know what Netflix is, simply you can go online and you register to it, you belong to it, and you can watch just about every episode of past TV shows that you ever wanted to do. They're all your favorite shows. And what happens is your intent is it's Saturday morning, you sleep in until maybe 9, 10 o'clock, and you think, you know, I'm going to have breakfast in my PJs, and I'm going to watch one of my favorite episodes. And my favorite episode might be whatever it might be, Star Wars for some of you. It might be Mayberry for some of us, for some of you guys. And it might be for me, I love the HGTV when they're doing all the remodeling of homes and all that stuff. And I just love watching that. But what happens is all of a sudden you get through one episode and you're like, I got enough time for the next one. No, just one more. And then another one goes, another one, 3 hours go by. You've watched the first season. And then you're like, oh, man, I'm kind of hungry. It's lunchtime. So you get up and you might pause for a second, run and get lunch and get right back to it and go, okay, you know what? I swear, just one more episode because I got to get this done. And then you start watching that, and then it's what we call binge watching. And then all of a sudden it's 10 o'clock at night and you're still watching TV. You haven't moved and you're still in your pajamas. And then you get through the evening, and then all of a sudden it's Sunday, 10 o'clock at night, and you're wondering what happened to your weekend. You ever been there? There's a lot of people that have been. But okay, maybe TV's not your thing, it's Xbox. Been on Xbox for hours and hours and hours, and next thing you look at, a whole day is gone. Oh, some of you, it's just doing activities, doing whatever you want to do. All of a sudden, the whole weekend's gone. Some of you, it's reading a book, grabbing that book. And some people can read book after book after book, hour after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour. And those things in the book really don't mean anything to your life. But then when it comes to spending time in this, it's like 2 minutes. That's like torture. God says how you spend your time determines your structure. Determines, are you going to have a life that is really built in Him, or are you going to have a life that is built by you? Where you're doing and you're putting these studs in, and they're all your personal preferences. They're all your desires, all the things that you want to do. God says time matters. And then another thing that makes up the 2x4s in our life, and nobody likes to hear this, and it's money. Jim boldly went where no man wants to go and talk about money. You know, the truth is, money defines us. And I don't care who you are, you need money. And it's a stud in our life as we build. You can be 18 years old, you need gas money, right? You need money for college. You can be 28 years old. You need money to buy a house. You need money to. You could be 38 years old. You need money to raise children. You could be 58 years old, 68, 88 years old. You need money. And the problem is money's not necessarily evil or bad, but it's how you view money. Do you worship it? Does it drive you? Is that your sole focus? And if God asks you to give 10 bucks, do you give 10 bucks or do you say, no, I want that 10 bucks so I can get a Starbucks when I leave here? It's your priorities. And Jesus kind of warns about this in Mark chapter 10, verses 25. It says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus isn't saying that money is evil. To be wealthy is not evil. There's not a problem with it. God blesses people. But what he's saying is, if your focus is all on money and all about your wealth and what you get, and that defines who you are, there's a problem. You're not going to be building your house on the foundation of Christ. And you're not letting God build and place in the 2x4s in your life, the 2x4s that he wants to place in there. When all you think about is money, 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 and what you can get. But if you start to say, you know, money is part of this world, part of what we need, but it's all from God. And God, will you build in my heart what you want me to do with it? And God may ask you to do some crazy things with it, but I can guarantee you, if you follow him and obey him in this area, God will build a structure in you, in a house that will withstand the storms of life. Because God is faithful. He says, I want to build you, and it's not a mystery. I got a plan. And I'm going to put all these elements into your life. So, you know, you have to come to a point where you say, God, I want you to be the master builder. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just stepped back and said, God, I know you have a plan for me, and I'm going to surrender to it. God is asking us to do that. He says, I'm asking you to trust me. Because most of us like to build a house with our own knowledge. We like to go ahead and just start building as fast as we can. And a lot of people build a house like this. They have no plan how to build the house of them either. They just jump in and they just say, hey, let's build the roof today. Well, you can't put the roof on anything unless you have the framing underneath it. You can't just all of a sudden get up and say, you know, I'm going to put a window in today. And there's no framing because I've never seen a window just kind of hanging there in the air and just stay there. There's a plan. There's a process by which God builds and builds our life. And he says, I'm going to do it in this fashion. You can let you be the person who crafts it. You can be the person who wants to put all those 2x4s where your thoughts are your own thoughts. Your time is your own time. Your money is your own money. Your relationships, don't tell me who I can be around and who I shouldn't be around. You can be the person that makes all those judgments, but I can guarantee you this. Your house will crumble because of you're making the decisions. Or you can let our world, you can let people around you start placing those 2x4s in your life. You can let culture say, this is how you view relationship. So this is how you view your money. You can say, culture, this is how you view the word of God. This is culture can start placing all those things in your building of you. And if that happens, your house is going to crumble because those things are not true and those things are not straight. There's something about God that God says, I want you to rely on my wisdom. I want you to surrender your lives and let me be the master builder. Let me be the architect that carries this out. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3, it says this, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. And simply all that means is that God says, trust me. Build on my truths. Build on my wisdom. Let me do it. And as God builds the house of you and this whole process and all these plans come unfold in your life, God says, I can be trusted. And then when I do that, I'm going to build a house that is true and straight and strong. And also I'm going to fill every single room with good things. Because God says, I want to do that because I'm the master builder, the master architect that is doing these things. Now, in our culture, we use different tools to build things straight. You know what this is? A builder's level, yes. Now, in the old days, they used a plumb bob. You ever hear that? And basically, it's a line that's attached to a heavy weight. And they would use that line because gravity is constant and would pull it down, and they'd start building like a masonry building, whether it was a one-story, a two-story, a 15-story mason building. They'd have these lines that went down, and the mason guy would build all the way up to these lines. And what's amazing, I don't know how those guys did it and how they still do it, is those buildings are true and straight all the way up. Because the problem is if they don't have something to kind of measure their life by, or you and I don't have something to measure our lives by, or to know what is true and what is plumb and what is straight, all of a sudden that building would start to lean. It would get off. If we tried to just kind of do what I did at Home Depot by grabbing a 2x4 and go, yeah, that looks pretty straight, but let's get that one. Well, it's not straight because I'm using my own eyes. The builders rely on things that are true and straight, and so they would use a plumb bob. And this level has many times saved my life with my wife. Not as a weapon, but what happens is quite often I think God used building projects to build our marriage. Either you learn how to love each other or you destroy each other. One of the two. What would happen is we have a deck on the front of our house, and it's a big deck, and my kids were pretty little, and they couldn't help me, so my wife was my right-hand woman, and so she would come out with me, and we would build this deck, and she would hold this level, and I would hold the 2x4 on this end, and I'd say, honey, you know how to use that, right? And she's like, well, no. And I says, well, see those little bubbles there? It's kind of cool. You know, we go up and down, and they move back and forth. Well, you want those in the middle. Well, why do you want those in the middle, she would say, because then you know that it's true, right? You know that it's straight. And so she's holding it up, and I'm taking these 2x4s with all I can, kind of holding it up, and then she's, okay, it's level. Then I, as fast as I can, I'm trying to nail in, and that joist is popping all over, and then she's like, it's not level. I'm like, oh, great. So then I got to rip it all apart and then redo it. And you know, but builders use these. And I can just tell you, if a builder's building your house, you want him to use something that's level, because he's going to put in a stud, and they're going to go, okay, let's see here. That's perfect right there, they would say. I know that this is level, and this is going to be true. I mean, if I didn't use a level, I could nail that thing in like that, right? And of course, my eyes always say that would be crooked, but you could do that, and then all of a sudden your house is crooked, and it can't withstand a storm, because all the studs have to line up with each other, and they're all fastened together, and they have the support. And then there's another tool that we use, squares. If somebody's building a house for you, make sure they have a square. Because if they just put in windows and they're not square, you're never going to be able to open those windows. I mean, if they put it, you know, a door kind of like this, you're never going to be able to open or close it. Maybe with a good foot you might get it shut. But you're going to be frustrated. And God says this is true about our lives. You need to make sure that you have something that's level, something that's true and square. Otherwise, you are going to be frustrated, because the building of you is not going to look like the building that he wants. Because he says, I have a dream for you, for your life, to build you into the image of my son. Now, if you have your Bibles, you want to open up to Psalm 19, and we're going to head there next. But what is true for us? What is something that is immovable? What is something that is always level and always secure? It's the Word of God. Without the Word of God, you cannot build a life that is going to withstand the storms of life. It'll be a structure that will not last for very long. I know our culture right now is so lost. They say that there's no truth. The truth of the matter is there is truth. Everybody knows that there's truth. People who say that there is no truth, first of all, they're in denial. Because the problem is they don't want to admit that there is something that is very true, and that is God. Because if they have to admit that there's something that is true, that is unchangeable, that is secure, and they would have to believe in him. And they don't want to surrender their lives to them. Therefore, their houses are built crooked. Their houses are going to collapse as storms hit. There is a truth that does not change, and it is the Word of God. You know, we shouldn't even call this the Bible, because the Bible is basically talking about that this is a collection of resources, a library. That's biblios, right? With this, the Bible never even refers to itself as the Bible. You know what the words of God refer to itself as? The Word of God breathed, righteous and holy words of God. It never says that this is the Bible. You can call it the Bible. I'm not getting picky. I'm just saying that these are the words of the living God. These words, from the beginning to the end, reveal who he is. How much he loves us. How much he cares for us. They reveal a truth that his son has came into the world to die for our sins. You see, I know our culture says that this is an outdated book. It's not relevant. Our culture says that there's a bunch of old letters that don't apply to our life anymore. Let me just tell you that these words apply to your life more than any book that you will ever read. They apply to your relationships. They apply to your workplace. They apply to your friendships. They apply to marriage. It's all here. You have questions. It is all here. It is this book, the Word of God, Holy Scriptures. This is what is relevant. This is what defines relevant. Everything else is irrelevant. Because these words will not change. They will stand true from the beginning of time until the end of time. So when somebody tells you that these words are old and they don't apply to your life, they have no clue. They have never been in them. They have never experienced the living God in these pages. The living God that is in these pages says, I'm building something in you, and I'm revealing something to you. I'm revealing my love. I'm revealing my son. I am pursuing my creation. My creation was broken, and I have come after it to redeem it, to restore it. People say it's restrictive. It's not restrictive. This is freeing. The Word of God frees us. It gives life. It gives hope. It gives purpose. It gives meaning. So when we talk about building a structure, the structure of you, this has to be the framing of your life. This is the, and when you start putting in studs into your life and you start saying, you know what, this is what I think I should have in my life. These are my thoughts. You better go back to the Word of God and go, is this what it really says? When I'm feeling unloved, when I'm feeling like nobody in this world cares for me, and maybe even God doesn't love me, well, then I need to correct my thoughts and I need to get back into here and go, here it says God loves me. Here it says that God has a plan for me. Here it says that God is working for the good of those who love Him. God is doing stuff. God is with me. God has sent His Son. We got to correct our thoughts sometimes, and we got to make sure that we're not putting these studs in our life that don't belong there, that are crooked. And we always have to come back and go, is that what this says? And the only way that you know what this says is if you fall in love with it and you build your life in it. The psalmist, you can tell he loves God's Word. Look at what it says in verse 7. The law or the Word of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. How many people need your souls revived? How many people are just so down and out and so overwhelmed you don't know which way to go and you wonder, is this life even worth living? Or is there any hope? The psalmist says, the Word of God revives the soul. And another version, it says that the Word of God refreshes the soul. And I love refreshes because it made me think of my computer. When my computer all of a sudden gets really slow, gets bogged down, and it gets a bunch of junk and clutter in it, what happens? It slows down and I get frustrated because I hit that thing and that little spinning wheel comes up and I go, come on, come on. And then I got to do something. I got to go in. I got to get rid of the stuff that's in the cache. I got to reboot it. I got to get it refreshed. And then all of a sudden, bam, it starts to work like it's supposed to. And that's what the psalmist says. The Word of God refreshes your soul. If you're feeling down, you're feeling left alone here, get into the Word of God. Let it reboot you. And then the psalmist says, the Word of God refreshes. The statue of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. And you say, well, I'm not a very smart person. I don't know how to build this house. Well, God says, guess what? You start building in this Word. You start making this part of your life, your thoughts, your relationships, your money, how you handle your time. You start building all this. You're going to be wise. Wise beyond any earthly standard. And you've seen those people who built their life on Christ, and they are wise, aren't they? They might not be a rocket scientist, but they have wisdom that is beyond this world. And God says, I promise you build your life in this, I'm going to do that. And then he says, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Don't you love that? That the Word of God brings joy to the hearts. We need some joy, don't we? I don't know about you guys, but I look and there's a lot of sad, droopy faces. You need joy. You know what's going to bring joy? This. And only this. Everything in this world is temporary. This lasts throughout eternity. Everything in this world is temporary and gives a false satisfaction. This satisfies the soul. This brings joy to the heart, it says. And then he goes on and he says this. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. So far, the promises of building your life in the Word of God are really clear. You get a refreshed soul. You get joy in your heart. You become wise. And your eyes are opened up. Your eyes are opened up to His truths, yes. But not just His truths about things that are in this world. I can just tell you, when I did electrical for myself, one of the things that I always failed at doing is I'd get really upset and I'd be trying to cram a project together. And everything that I was working on was going bad. I'm spending 4 or 5 hours trying to piece this electrical service together. And no matter what I do, it's just not working. And I start muttering and get upset and get more angry. Then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, God. And walk back to my truck, sit on my tailgate and would say, okay, God, I need your help. And then I would remember a scripture verse and I would just kind of say it to myself. Or I'd pull out the Bible And then I was, all of a sudden I'd walk back to that job, and you know what would happen? Everything would go together quick. Does it make sense? Yeah. Because I said, God, I need your help right now. Open my eyes. And he does it. And many of you have seen that happen. And then it goes on. He says, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. And then verse 10, I love how he says this about God's word. And I don't know where your heart is with God's word. Maybe you think it's just some old book. Maybe you're saying it's not relevant. It's relevant, but listen to what this author says. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, the honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there's a great reward. I just love that. He says, it's sweeter than honey. It's better than gold. It's more satisfying than anything that we'll ever find. So you're wondering where God is. You're wondering how your life is such a mess. Maybe you need to ask God to come in. Come in and start to do some remodeling, because sometimes we place 2x4s in. And you need to ask God to rip them out. The problem, though, with ripping out stuff and remodeling, it's painful. It's time-consuming, but it's worth it. Because your structure of you will be true. The structure of you, when a storm comes, will withstand the storms. So this morning, as we kind of close out this time, just a simple question. Are you willing to let God become your master builder? Are you willing to let him recalibrate all the studs that you put in that don't belong there? And he says, if you will do that, I will make good things happen. I have a plan. It's not to harm you, but it's to prosper you. I have a plan. I want you to come to the point where you surrender and make me the Lord of your life. And this becomes who you are. God says, I want to do that. But will you let him? Some of you might be doing that. Then what I would say, would you just take time this week and just rejoice and say, God, thank you. Thank you for building me. Thank you for giving us a word that is relevant for all generations. A word that has built a sure foundation in me. Thank you, God. Because it's important that we do that, because the psalmist is just celebrating, going, God, you're amazing because of your words. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and God, I thank you that you're a God that is working, a God that wants to construct something that is not man-made, but something that is made by you. And I thank you that you have a plan for each one of us to turn us into the likeness of your Son and to reveal more and more about who you are and your great love for us. God, we'd ask that you'd let your truth come into our lives, that your thoughts would consume us, that we would view our time as a gift from you, and that we would use the time to bring you glory. That if there's relationships in our lives, Lord, that we would remove them and allow you to eradicate them and get them out of our life, but place in new relationships that can grow us towards you. God, we thank you that you're a God that is building a structure and knows what to do. But God, we just give you our lives and would ask that you would transform us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit gaineschurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.